what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Finta Football Podcast here on a Monday again. Getting ready to start the week off with another podcast. We were gone for a bit, but we're glad to be back. Talk some soccer, the recent action going on. So today, we wanted to cover the return of the Liga MX, the Mexican domestic league, which started back up this past weekend. So we had quite a few slate of games, and with the last one being today. So I just wanted to... I'm a big fan of the Liga MX, the Mexican Soccer League. I tend to watch it a lot just because it's a close league. I'm familiar with it. So let's dive into some of those games. It was the first, like I said, it was the first game back. So what I had planned for today was to cover this weekend's first couple games, give some insight on those. Then also I'm going to do some predictions. Who's going to be the top scorer of the season this year, the playoffs, who makes the top eight, and the dark horse who I think is going to, who's going to be in there. So let's go ahead. The first three matches actually on Friday, last Friday, January 8th, we had Puebla versus Chivas. So the first game, Puebla was with a new coach after their last coach got picked up by Cruz Azul. They were the dark horse last year. They got into the playoffs as the eighth seed, and the coach got some recognition. Reynoso, I believe his name. He got hired by Cruz Azul, a big team in Mexico. So we'll see how he does with them. But yeah, they were starting off with a new coach, and Chivas, who had a really good year last year as well. Chivas being one of the biggest teams in Mexico, one of the most winningest teams with 13 titles. So that was a good game to kick off this year's tournament, which ended in a 1-1 draw. I caught the second half of the game, and it was pretty even game. Not much chances created, to be honest, which is kind of normal, I'd say, for it being the first game back. Teams are just kind of trying to get a feel for their squads, who their ideal starting 11 is. They've been working preseason, so just kind of building the pieces. So I think it was a fair result, given that Chivas missed a penalty kick, so they could have gone home with a away win, but they blew the PK chance, and that game ended in a 1-1 draw. Some expectations for both teams. I'd say Chivas has a chance to get in again. It's pretty much the same squad that got them into the top eight last year. So I think they have a really good squad, a good coach. So I think they'll be in there and in the top eight again for sure. But we'll get more into those when we do the predictions. And so that was the first game to kick off this tournament. And the second game, Tijuana versus Pumas. I was excited about this one. It was an interesting matchup, but actually it was a 0-0 draw, so it wasn't too much fun, if you'd say, for the average soccer fan. It was a tough game to watch. It was more of a duel of the goalkeepers in this one. Both goalkeepers had a really good games. Jonathan Orozco with Tijuana had some really good saves, as well as Alfredo Talavera for Pumas. Two solidified veterans in the league. They're often selected for the national teams. Really good goalkeepers. So it was fun to see a duel of great goalies. You know, we tend to go towards the goals, scoring more goals during games, but it's also fun when there's the goalkeepers are just making some sick, spectacular saves, especially like one-on-ones, opportunities, just, you know. I have grown to admire the goalkeeper position over the last couple of years, given that one of my my cousins has his own brand, which is geared towards goalies. So I've learned a lot through him about the position. And now when I watch soccer games, I really look at the goalkeeper position more, and I analyze it more in depth, and I study it more as well, just because I know more. And it's a really interesting position. And this game just proved it, that goalies in soccer could make the difference in a game. So it's really important to have a really good goalkeeper. And I feel like we've been seeing that recently, like the last 5 years. You're seeing your big European teams pick up goalies for crazy amounts of money now. We started seeing it kind of with Ederson when he transferred to Manchester City for a crazy amount of money. I think it was around 50 million euros. And then Alisson, another Brazilian, going to Liverpool for a crazy amount of money. You got Kepa from Chelsea, who was the most expensive goalkeeper to be signed. So we're definitely seeing that goalkeeper position and they're putting more emphasis on it as an important piece. So this was one of those games where you saw it and you're like, oh, the goalies definitely had a say in this matchup. So it was a 0-0, but it was fun to watch the two goalies go at it. Two great Mexican goalies. So that finished 0-0. The third match on Friday was Mazatlan FC. They're entering their second tournament, barely in their team's existence. Last tournament was their first tournament ever after buying out Morelia. So that's a new franchise, Mazatlan FC. They played Necaxa, who got into the playoffs last year. Surprisingly, actually, because they fired their coach mid-season and they still managed to get in. So this was an interesting matchup for me because Mazatlan reinforced themselves pretty good this offseason, picking up some quality players from the Liga MX. They got a nice goalie, Nico Viconis, who was with Puebla last year. A solid goalie, veteran. They picked up a few others, creative players. So Mazatlan has an interesting squad. They have a really good coach, in Tomas Boy, who's been around the league for forever. He's has experience. He knows how to set a team nice, how to make them work well. So I think Mazatlan is going to be an interesting story, this year to keep an eye on. They came out with the win in this one, 3-2, a lot of goals in this one. Yeah, so my takeaways from this one was Mazatlan, keep an eye out for them, and Necaxa too. They got a nice squad over there too. So both those teams should be fighting for a playoff spot, in my opinion. And that rounded up the Friday's games, and then on Saturday, we kicked it off with Atlas Monterrey. This was another interesting matchup because Monterrey. It was a debut of legendary coach, Mexican coach, Javier Aguirre, who after 19 years, I believe, was making his return to coaching in Mexico. For those of you who don't know, Aguirre is a legendary coach, I'd say, in the eyes of many from Mexico. Having started off his career, his managerial career in Mexico, quickly took the step to European soccer, having coached some big teams in Atletico Madrid, Alaves. He coached the Egyptian national team, Japanese national team. So he's definitely Mexican national team, can't forget that. So Aguirre is definitely a solidified manager, not just in Mexico, but in world football. Like I said, he's been around, he knows the game, and the signing of him was probably the biggest this offseason, not just because of his stature, but because he really knows the game of soccer very well. And I think it's Monterrey is going to be really fun to watch this year just because of the fact that Javier Aguirre is bringing in a new system, a new way of of training, a new way of playing. Many say he's bringing the European style, which is more creative, you know, attacking. So it's gonna be fun to see watch Monterrey play this year. They looked really well in their victory. It finished 2-0 in favor of them, but it could have easily been 4-5-0. They're so stacked and they have so much creative players. And Atlas, sadly, I think it's gonna be another bad year. I feel bad for those Atlas fans because they've been around forever. They're really loyal fan base, but they can't seem to ever make a solid enough squad to make a push towards winning the title, even getting into the playoffs. You know, it's always been hard for them. So my takeaway from that one was Monterrey is going to be really, really fun to watch this year. And Atlas, didn't see much from them. Moving on to the second game on Saturday, you had the rivals of Monterrey, Tigres, taking on the reigning champs in León FC, León Football Club. That was probably the biggest game, the one that stood out at least and once you saw the fixtures, Tigres León, just because Tigres has arguably been the best team in the last decade. And not just Mexico, but I'd say North America, the whole continent, what they've done, the titles they've won, it's pretty amazing. They've definitely solidified themselves as not just a giant in the CONCACAF region, which is the soccer confederation here in North America, but I think in the world it's starting to be well recognized as a big team. A lot of star players are coming down. They know Tigres now, you know, so this game finished 2-0 in favor of them. I had a favorite, Tigres, just because León, you know, they always say that the championship hangover. I feel like León is going to struggle the first couple games this year, just dealing with some injuries. They sold a couple players, so we'll see how they bounce back from that championship. But like I said, Tigres is probably the best team right now in Mexico. Their system from top to bottom, from the management to the players, it's just a big team. They also picked up a really good signing, and Carlos Gonzalez. He came a striker coming over from Pumas, another team in Mexico. Another number nine. It was kind of there's debate if it was a good signing, just because they already have a lethal striker in André Pierre Gignac, the French forward, who many questioned the move just because of questions if they could play together, both being two number nines having similar style. But hey, in this game, it proved all the doubters that it was a good signing, because both of them got on the score sheet. They both look good, making great runs behind, looking lively. Gignac just opening up wide, then Carlos Gonzalez holding up the ball. It's just León looked. Tigres looked really good in this game, and I see them as probably the favorite in this tournament, just judging on how I saw them and how they finished last year. Just throwing in there that they also won the CONCACAF title. So they took down LAFC, now they're champs. They're going to be representing the CONCACAF at the Club World Cup in December. So hopefully they could do something big in that tournament. They definitely have the squad for it, for sure. But yeah, we'll see how León bounces back. Like I said, they are the reigning champs, but they didn't look too good. Injuries are a key. They were missing a lot of starters, to be fair. But we'll see how they bounce back. They'll be fine, I believe. The last game on Saturday, moving on, was Club America. They took on Atlético San Luis. America came up on top in this one with a 2-1 victory. This was I caught this whole game. This was a Saturday afternoon game. And Club America's my team. They're my favorite team in Mexico. So I was intrigued in this matchup just because they're my team. Also, they did the debut of their new manager. So they fired their last manager, Miguel Herrera, El Piojo, who was there for a while and actually had him really good throughout his whole tenure there. I'd say he was one of the better coaches in Mexico. But some incidents in the CONCACAF tournament, apart with the fact that they weren't playing too well towards the end, they decided to move on from him and part ways. For me as a fan, it was surprising, not going to lie. It was surprising that they let him go. Just because, like I said, he was a solid manager in my eyes and in the eyes of many. He did what he could with the team he had. Last year, it was a really depleted squad with injuries and a bunch of other issues with guys catching COVID, not being able to play. But what catches my eye about this Miguel Herrera as a manager is, even with all the struggles, with all the players missing, he would always manage to build a strong side. He always put out 11 players who would compete, no matter if they were youngsters coming up from the academy, or role guy, bench player. You know, they were finishing in the top four almost every season he was with them, and that's with, like I said, with depleted squad. So for me, it was surprising, but I mean, change could be good. Now Santiago Solari's coming in, who's a big name in the football world. He last coached Real Madrid, which is the biggest team in the world, arguably. So he's definitely coming in with a lot of vast majority of experience. They're saying he's going to bring that different style too, that European style. So we'll see how it goes. As a fan, I'm not mad at the hiring. I feel like he has a lot to prove, and we shouldn't be expecting anything more than to qualify, obviously, for the Liguilla, the playoffs. And as America being one of the biggest teams, we got to always aspire to win the championship. So I don't see why we shouldn't ask for that from Solari, even though he is coming in barely. But we have the squad, I believe, to do it. So yeah, they took the America took the 2-1 win, looking pretty good. And San Luis, it was 1-1, and then America got the winner in the last 10 minutes. So they took home the win. That was the last game on the Saturday. Moving on to Sunday, we had two games. We had Toluca Querétaro. Toluca came up victorious with the return of Cristante, their manager, who's coming back after he was with them. They want to say two tournaments ago, and they fired him, moved on from him, but now he's coming back. So we'll see how his second term goes with them. The first one didn't finish so well, but they're looking to bring in some more energy to that Toluca team, who hasn't been performing that well as of late. But they got the impressive 3-1 victory. They looked really good in this game. A couple of their new signings came up big. I think Toluca has a really nice squad. So they beat Querétaro, which is, I mean, Querétaro, you don't see them ever being, you know, as a threat. But in Mexican soccer, it's always a good game. So, but I think everyone going into this one was expecting Toluca to get the win. For the second one, the late matchup on Sunday was Santos Cruz Azul. So Cruz Azul was coming off that embarrassing exit in the playoffs last year, having gone up 4-0 the first game, then blowing it and losing 4-0 to getting kicked out of the playoffs was pretty tough on them. So it was interesting to see how they were going to bounce back. This first game wasn't too great. They lost to Santos 1-0. I caught most of this game, and to be fair, Santos looked really good. Cruz Azul just at times they would look lively, playing attacking football, but I feel like the chip wasn't there on the day. They were away. They are under a new coach, so I think they're still trying to find the system he wants to play. thus his ideal starting 11. I mean, they do have, they're loaded with talented players. So I think they'll be fine. It was just, I think it was more, these first couple of games for Cruz Azul is going to be them trying to find their system, how they want to play under their new coach, Reynoso, their ideal 11, and they'll take it from there. But I think Cruz Azul has too good of a team, too talented to not make the playoffs this year. And Santos, like I said, they're always in there. They're always, I think they solidified themselves as a team to always look out for. They've always been in the hunt for the playoffs, making playoffs. So now the question for them is if they could make that jump and make a run towards winning it. So that wraps it up. Today was the last matchup between Pachuca and Juarez, who are playing at 7. So that's currently going on as we speak. So we'll see how that one goes. But that was the recap for this weekend's first jornada, or the first week of games. I'm excited for the league to come back, the Liga MX. Now let's do some, I want to do some predictions on this year's league. So the interesting thing about the Mexican league is it's really competitive. So I mean, every game is going to be, there's no blowouts. There's never a blowout. It's rare. What I mean is, like, in the tables, in the from 1 to 18, there's always, every team pretty much has a chance to make it to the playoffs, is what I'm trying to say. So it's a really competitive league. So I think it's always interesting to do a prediction as to who's going to get in, who's going to be the dark horse this year. So we'll start with who I think the top scorer of the league is going to be this year. I think André Pierre Guignac, again, from Tigres. Just ever since he came in from he's French, and they brought him in six, 7 years ago. One of the biggest signings ever to date in all of the Mexican league's history, just because of the stature of this guy. He's been in Europe, French international, and just came down to Mexico and tore up the league. Arguably one of the best signings ever to come down, and he still keeps doing it at a high rate. So last year he was up there in the Golden Boot race, and this year I don't see the way the form he's in. I see him taking it again. So that's my prediction for the top goal scorer of the year is André Pierre Guignac from Tigres. Then let's move on to my picks of who's going to make it. Oh, the dark horse. The dark horse, I think, this year is going to be Mazatlán. Mazatlán FC, I was saying. They're the newest team. Fairly new, because last year was their first tournament as a new franchise in Mexico. So they bought out a team, Morelia, next team. They bought them out, so they're new. They took the team over to Mazatlán, which is a beautiful place on the coast in Sinaloa. It's known more for their tourism. They got a baseball team, but ideally it's a really nice spot to have a Mexican soccer team. So a lot of people weren't fans of that move just because of how they took the team from one place to another. They basically just bought it out, so it kind of looked bad in their part, but they're building a interesting team, I believe. They have, like I said, they have a solidified coach in Tomas Boy, who's been there, has a vast resume, has been with a bunch of teams, knows how to set their teams. So, and like I said, they picked up some nice signings this offseason. They built the squad nice. So I think Mazatlán is going to be the dark horse this year. I think they're going to get into the playoffs for sure, and look for them to make a little run. You never know. Like I said, the Liga MX is competitive. Every game could go either way, which is what I personally like about the league, is that every game is different, and it's such a tactical league that anything could happen pretty much. So yeah, look out for Mazatlan. And for the top, I believe 13 teams make it now. So I was still under the thought that the top eight made it. So I only chose eight, but the new format has 13 teams going in, with the top two getting a first round bye, basically. Which is, I wasn't a fan of that, but I totally forgot that there's 13 teams now. So I'm gonna have to rethink my top teams for this year. But I'll get back to you guys next week with my top 13 teams that I believe are gonna make a run this year in the Liga MX. But for me, that was pretty much it for this podcast, what I had to say. The Liga MX was back, so I thought it was important to summarize that a bit. It is one of my more favorite leagues, so we will be talking a lot of Liga MX, especially as it rolls on. Hopefully it runs smooth, you know, with the whole COVID situation. It's going to be hard, but hopefully they run it well and it's a good tournament. But before I leave, I just wanted to mention to our listeners, to check out our Instagram page or social media, finta.football, and just, check out our latest post. We're doing a raffle, it's actually a nice raffle. We teamed up with a couple other local soccer brands in the community. They all have to do with some type of way with football, with soccer. So we combined with them and we're doing a small raffle. The proceeds are going towards a local soccer team, a youth soccer team who's in need of gear, being in cones, balls, pennies, anything training gear related is what we want. We want to offer the local team, just the one that's in the need the most. So like I said, that raffle is going on right now. It ends on the 20th of January. So if you guys could go check it out, the details are on there. Just wanted to mention that. Like I said, the proceeds go towards a good cause. So we're hoping to help out a local team with that. But that's it for me. Hopefully these next couple of weeks and months, we're going to start trying to get more interviewees on here. So local soccer players, some pro soccer players, maybe some coaches. If you guys know anyone or are interested in getting anyone on, just, you know, shoot us a DM and we're going to do our best to get them on. But yeah, just that's it for me. Hopefully you guys are enjoying this podcast again. This is for all you guys who love the game of soccer and are passionate, just like me. So, yeah, any recommendations, shoot them, DM. Any topics you guys want me to discuss. Or hey, if you want to get on, you know, talk some soccer. This is for everyone passionate about soccer. So, yeah, I appreciate all you guys. And thanks for listening, tuning in. And see you guys next week. Peace.